If you're a business owner, perhaps you can consider a larger donation for a write-off because we know the government isn't working on saving babies. A donation of $1,000, $2,000, $20,000, all gifts are tax deductible and will reach eternity. Please get involved today. Welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 24, the lips of Jesus. He was talking about the last days and his return. He said, "And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." We live in a world where love has grown cold and people do cold-blooded killing for really no benefit. You have no doubt heard at the top of the hour the killer in Maine went about in a bowling alley in a bar and has killed at least 22 people, has wounded 30 more. Mass shooting. This is unprecedented for the state of Maine. Maine had, as I read this morning, they recorded 29 homicides for the entire year of 2022 and at least 22 dead as a result of last night and 30 wounded and more may join the ranks of the deceased. It's just hard to wrap your mind around somebody who can do that. The news report said that he had a history of mental illness. You know, we hear a lot about mental illness today, and obviously that's a real thing, mental illness. But you know what you don't hear about today that's also a very real thing is demon oppression and demonic possession. Demonic oppression, demonic possession. When Jesus walked the earth, did you notice as you read the Gospels how many demon-possessed people he encountered and how he would cast out demons, even a demon-possessed person in the synagogue? We don't hear much about that today. We kind of think that, well, that's ancient history. That doesn't happen today. It does happen. It still happens. I think a lot of the things that we attribute to mental illness is a result of demonic possession at the worst, or demonic oppression at the least. And I recall the testimony of the Son of Sam killer, David Berkowitz. I referred to him earlier this week on the program. He talked about hearing voices in his head that were impelling him to go out and randomly shoot people and hopefully kill people from his twisted, warped perspective. Well, he knew when he became a Christian that, you know, there was a major difference and those voices were silenced in his head. And so the devil is real and he's at work. And so as I process through the news and on a daily basis, you know, we read about just horrific things that people do to other people. And, you know, the Bible gives us great insight into how to understand this from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verses 18 through 32, 18 through the end of the chapter, is such an important passage of Scripture because it tells us that men suppress the truth in unrighteousness, and the wrath of God comes when people suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It tells us how even though men knew about God, they didn't honor him as God or give him thanks, and their foolish heart was darkened. And God has given every single person two voices that speak and tell this person, every single person, that there is a God, that God is real. First is the voice of creation. You know, anyone with a modicum of sense knows if there's a creation, there has to be a creator. Nobody times nothing can't equal everything. You walk outside and you see the sky and you see the trees and you see the grass and you see the landscape and you just know, well, this didn't just happen by itself. There has to be a creator. So Since the creation of the world, Romans 1:20 tells us, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Every single person is without excuse because creation tells us God is real, God exists. But not only does God give us the witness of creation, that's the outer witness, the outer voice. God also gives us an inner voice, and that is the witness of conscience, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. Every single person is born with a conscience that lets them know that God is real. A person who claims to be an atheist, in order to make that claim, you have to kick your conscience to death, because your conscience is constantly going to be witnessing to the fact that there is a God. Now, that is general revelation. That doesn't bring you to faith in Christ. That just lets you know that you didn't get here by accident, that there is a God. Now, Romans 1 goes on to say, but men don't like the truth. You know, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who do what? Who suppress, hold back the truth in unrighteousness. We have people doing that today all over the map in all sorts of areas of life. It is sad, very sad for me to see in the medical community. You have people who are learned people, educated people, and what are they doing? Suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And I believe it's because they have given themselves over to the love of money. These surgeries that they're performing on young kids, on teenagers and preteens to change them from a girl to a boy, from a boy to a girl, which is impossible. They know that. They know it's impossible. They know you're XY male or XX female, and that cannot be changed. So they carve these kids up and destroy these kids. I read just yesterday that somebody is suing their doctor for lying to them at a vulnerable time when they were young and didn't understand and performed these terrible surgeries and prescribed this medicine that have wrecked their lives before they ever really got to adulthood. And they're suing because they said, you knowingly destroyed me. And their attitude is, oh, we just did what you wanted us to do. Well, why did they do that? University of Vanderbilt Medical was caught on camera saying, we do it because we can make money doing this. This is very lucrative for us. And so they suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Now, what does God do in response to that? Even though they knew God, Romans 1:21, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Conscience and creation both told them that God is real, and they knew about God from conscience and creation, but they said no. They didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Can you imagine making that exchange? I can worship the God of the universe, the God who marks out the universe by the span from the end of his thumb to the end of his pinky. God is huge. Heaven's not even the highest heavens, the Bible says, can contain God. He's the great, the mighty, the awesome God. Your mind can't comprehend how great and mighty and awesome God is. And that men would exchange the glory of the incorruptible God to worship what? To worship four-footed animals and crawling creatures. In Egypt, they worship the dung beetle, the scarab. You know, you saw the mummy, perhaps, and those little beetles. Well, they worship those. Those are dung beetles. Go to YouTube and see, type in dung, D-U-N-G beetle, and they worship these bugs that play around in dung, And they could have worshiped the incorruptible God, but they exchanged that, the glory of the incorruptible God, for an image in the form of corruptible man. First it goes from man, then to birds, then to four-footed animals, then to crawling creatures. That's when you get into the worship of the dung beetles. So what does God do? He gives them over. And he gives them over to the lust of their hearts, to impurity. So there's sexual immorality that takes place, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. And then it says he gives them over to degrading passions, for their women exchange the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandon the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. First, it's given over to sexual immorality and all sorts of terrible sexual immorality that destroys people and destroys marriages and destroys families. And then it's homosexual immorality that is such a vile and filthy kind of thing. The Bible talks about sexual immorality as sinning against your own body. It's a different kind of a sin. And in terms of the filthiness, you know, I often think of the woman caught in or the woman that gave herself over to prostitution, Luke 7. She's just covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin, but she found forgiveness in Jesus. So the Lord, we have a sexual revolution. He has given over our nation to that. Then a homosexual revolution. And then lastly, you see God giving men over to a reprobate mind, a depraved mind. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are improper. A depraved mind, a reprobate mind, is a mind that no longer functions. A mind that can't figure things out anymore. A mind that that calls evil good and good evil. That's where we live today in America. That's how upside down our country is. And it says this about that. That time period when God gives men over to a reprobate mind. They're filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, like the person in Maine committed mass murder, strife, deceit, malice, they're gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. That's just horrible. And although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Listen, we're in a mess today in America, a total mess in America. And as I've said on this program over and over and over again, we as Christians, we are on this earth for one main reason, and that is to be the Lord's witnesses, to shine and share, to tell people about Jesus who is mighty to save. If you think of our world, think of it like the Titanic. It's a sinking ship. It has hit the iceberg and it is going down. And we are the ones that know the way of escape. And as Peter said in Acts chapter 2, be saved from this perverse generation. Because you can repent and you can come to Christ and you can be saved, as Noah would preach. There is the ark of safety. A flood is coming and it's going to wipe you out. But there is hope in the ark. The ark's a picture of Jesus. Hey, the only salvation is in the Lord Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand, the song says, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hey, it says in Romans 1, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God, excuse me, or give him thanks. Let me encourage you, every day of your life, honor God as God. Give him thanks. Give him praise. He is worthy, worthy, worthy. The Bible talks over and over and over about the fear of the Lord. Solomon said the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. What is the fear of the Lord? It's giving God his rightful place as king and taking your rightful place as servant. It's yielding yourself every single day to to Him. It's reporting in the morning and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. When you live like that, God can use you in great ways, and God will bless your life. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Well, in the first segment, we talked about trying to explain what is going on with these mass murderers that we read about and just are horrified, and just really looking at the news on a regular basis, and you just read horrific things. And, you know, we're all shocked by what Hamas did on October 7th, and just the brutality and the fingerprints of Satan all over Hamas and their attacks. And you just think, good night, how does this, how do people act that way? Well, I believe that there are a lot of demon-possessed people. We don't really call it that. We don't like to call it that. We don't really know what to do with that, but Just know that I heard in a sermon years ago, they said, isn't it interesting that when Jesus came on the scene, you had so much demonic activity? We don't read about that in the Old Testament, that you just have demon-possessed people everywhere, but you read about that in the New Testament. It's almost like everywhere Jesus went, he encountered demon-possessed people. And this preacher made the comment. He said, I think as we get closer to the return of Christ, that we're going to see more and more demonic possession. And the devil is at work. There's no doubt about it. I shared last night about the truth of Islam with our church. And we've talked about it. We talked about it on the program just yesterday with historian Bill Federer, and people need to know the truth about that. But I said this, I said, listen, Islam, the religion of Islam is an enemy. It's a doctrine of demons, as the Bible talks about. But Muslims are not the enemy. Muslims are people caught up in the lie of Islam. So we decry Islam. We expose Islam, but we love the people. And we know that the Lord can snatch people out of the fire, and the Lord can open blind eyes to the truth. Now, people have to decide. I'm a firm believer that the Lord doesn't make people decide. The Lord gives an invitation to people, but they have to decide and decide for Christ. But we're here, as I close out the first segment, we're here as witnesses, and that's our job. And it is not going to be easy. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, Paul told Timothy, difficult times will come. Well, difficult times are here, and we are living in the, if Paul thought he was living in the last days, he died in 67 AD or so, right around in there, So if he was living in the last days, we're definitely living in the, as Adrian Rogers used to like to say, we're living in the last of the last days. The last days began when Jesus ascended to heaven. And so it's in between his comings. That's called the last days. And so we're in that time period, and we know that we're one day closer to the return of Christ. And so Paul, in Romans, he gave that list of what does it look like when a person has a reprobate mind, a depraved mind, and all those sins that he listed. Well, in 2 Timothy 3, he lists sins too. In the last days, difficult times will come, hard times, perilous times, dangerous times. And he says men will be lovers of self. We live in such a narcissistic world. And social media has really caused narcissism to just go off the charts. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. Why do people do what they do? Why does the medical community suppress the truth and unrighteousness? And obviously not every doctor is doing that, but the medical community in general is doing that. Why do they do that? Because they're lovers of money. And the love of money, as the scripture says, is the root of all sorts of evil. It's opening Pandora's box of evils. When you begin to love money, money is not the root of all sorts of evils. It's your attitude toward money. Money is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It's your attitude toward money. And if you love it, well, you're going to open up the door to all sorts of evils. So men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, exactly what he said in Romans chapter 1, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Hey, that's the world in which we live today. And we're here to be witnesses in this world. And as Jesus said, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. Don't be naive with the ways of the world. Don't be naive when you're dealing with people. You know, one of the things that Bill Federer brought up is when we in the West deal with the Muslims in the Middle East, with militant Islamic terrorists and regimes like Iran that are given over to, it's religious for them. And they go back to Muhammad and they say, Islam is the religion of the sword. I don't care what anyone tells you about it being peaceful. You can practice an abrogated form of Islam and just say, well, I'm changing it and it'll be peaceful. But you can't practice true Islam that Muhammad practiced, who's the founder of Islam. You can't practice that without being aggressive and violent, because that's what Muhammad did. He killed many, many people. And it's Islam, in its true form, is smash mouth religion. And so we are so ignorant when we deal with these folks, and they don't see compromise and concession as strength. They see that as weakness. The only thing they know and they respond to is getting smashed in the mouth. That's what Israel is doing now. They're responding with strength. And peace with those guys comes through strength. It doesn't come through appeasement. It's kind of like when I was in high school and we learned about Hitler and how everybody was trying to appease him to keep the peace. Well, that didn't work very well. Didn't work at all. It created World War II and the loss of millions and millions and millions of lives. If people had stood up to him at the first, that's how you deal with a bully. You stand up to him at the first, and you can shut that down in its infancy. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you as we think about the world in which we live. And I know it from a parent's perspective, if you're not careful, you can get afraid. You can see what all is going around and you can see how the world is a sinking ship, and you can get afraid for your children. The Lord doesn't want us to be afraid. You know, Peter was walking on the water. He was doing well when he kept his eyes on Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. If you, mom or dad, if you take your eyes off Jesus and you start seeing and focusing in on the circumstances, you will get afraid. You need to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And we need to teach our children. Obviously, we need to lead them to Christ, and that is the prayer of every mom and dad, godly mom and dad, that their children would come to Jesus at a young age, know him and love him and walk with him. And then we teach our children, hey, you're a soldier in the Lord's army, and we're here for one purpose, and that is to be the Lord's witnesses. And so you always have to keep that on the forefront of their minds, that this is what God has, he's allowed us to be born for such a time as this. It's not an accident that you and I are on the earth at this time in history. And we want our time on this earth, whether it's a long time from the world's perspective or a short time, we want it to be an impactful time. We want that time to count. You know, you think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't have a long life on the earth. But Jesus said, of those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a short ministry. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. And John the Baptist was beheaded when he was in his early 30s. But he had such impact. And so we want to live our lives to the glory of God so that our lives would have impact. So that when we stand before the Lord, I mean, this is the ultimate for every single believer. We stand before the Lord and we hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." If you hear that, if I hear that, then you know one thing for certain. Your life was a success because you pleased your king. You pleased your master. You pleased the one who purchased you with his own blood. There can be no greater commendation than the commendation from the king. And I don't care what you do in life. You can make $1 billion. You can be the president of Exxon. You can have houses in every tropical island. You can have boats and yachts, all the stuff. You can have all the stuff. And so who cares? Who cares? If you die and you hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, I never knew you," versus, "Well done, my good and faithful slave." That's what we're living for, is the Lord's well done. Listen, the things that we are promised in our lives in Christ, the things that we're promised, they're not the things, the health, wealth, prosperity of this life. Those are the things to come. And God does reward his servants who are faithful to him. But the reward is not in this life. Well, what do you get in this life for being faithful? What did Paul get for being faithful in this life? He got his head cut off. What did Peter get for being faithful? He got crucified upside down. My history professor in seminary, he used to say the early church fathers, the martyrs, they would get either a hot steak or a cold chop. You got burned at the stake or you got your head cut off. That was your reward in this life. But in the next, that's what matters, because that's what is eternal. That's what lasts forever. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Jerry on the line from Arkansas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
It's great to be here, Pastor. Thank you for your program this morning. I just have a few comments, I'll be happy to take your thoughts once I hang up.
Sure.
But I just have a few things, and not all of them in full agreement, in full disclosure. So for example, earlier when you had mentioned some of the, you had listed some of the different scriptures that talk about people becoming lovers of self and lovers of money. Uh-huh. Well, this certainly reminds us of our former president, Trump, who was a lover of money and a lover of self. And we do need to hear teaching on that. You also mentioned how Paul and Peter had laid down their lives. Well, the reason they did was because they were following their nonviolent master, who didn't return evil for evil. So they didn't return evil for evil, therefore they died. Now, my last comment has to do with the Islam, and I have many Islamic friends. I love reaching out to Muslims, and one of the things that they have a hard time with Christians about is how Christians love to play nonviolent when they're talking about Islamic violence. But we as Christians have a tremendous amount of Christian on Christian bloodshed in our past that we need to reconcile. And I think we can do that by taking Jesus seriously when he says to not return evil for evil and to follow Jesus in his nonviolent love of both friends and enemies. So while Islam may be violent, Christianity certainly has also been violent because it's disobeyed Jesus. Those are my comments.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. So the difference would be if you obey Islam, you're violent. And in Christianity, if you obey Jesus, you're not violent. So you have Hamas and Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and those other militant Islamic groups. Well, they can go back, show you chapter and verse. This is what it says to do. I had shared yesterday in my message, Nabil Qureshi, who wrote the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He said the reason he was raised Muslim, he was very devout. He said, but what pushed me over the edge to become a Christian was the violence in Muhammad's life. He said, I couldn't explain that away any longer. He said, it was just staring me in the face. And he said, the violence that is written in the Quran, he said 109 verses in the Quran, especially Quran chapter 9, has a lot of passages about being harsh and, killing the infidels and that kind of language. You don't find that in the New Testament. You don't find that in the life of Jesus. Obviously, we have law enforcement, and law enforcement has to punish evildoers, and government has to punish evildoers. And Israel, as a nation, when their citizens are brutally attacked and murdered, they have to respond to that. You can't just roll over on that kind of thing. You know, I remember one preacher said, hey, you hit me, I'll turn the other cheek, but you come after my wife and children, and I'm going to rise up and defend them, because God has given me that responsibility for them. So it's different on a personal basis than it is on when you're protecting other people, your wife, your kids, your neighbors, that kind of thing. So to say that the big difference that I would see, Jerry, with that is if I follow Islam strictly, I will be violent, because that is encouraged in the Quran. Encouraged through the life of Muhammad. That's what the militants are saying. Hey, we're just following Muhammad. And if you say, well, our religion is peaceful, well, then you're not following correctly. And the reverse is true. If you're a violent militant and you say you're a Christian, well, you're not following true Christianity. That's not Christianity. Christianity is founded by the Lord Jesus, and he tells us to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate us. So good question. I appreciate that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for today, and Kathy and Carlos, when we come back, we will get to you, and so don't go away. Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about what happened yesterday in Maine, the mass shooting that took the lives of at least 22 people. 30 are wounded. More may join the ranks of the deceased because of this deranged killer. Went into a bowling alley, went into a bar, started shooting people. They said he had a history of mental illness. And who knows, maybe he does, or maybe he has demonic activity in his life. I had mentioned that Jesus, during his ministry, that was a big part of his ministry. He would encounter demon-possessed people. And listen, we live in a world, as the scripture says, 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And as people turn from God, they're given over to sexual immorality, to homosexual immorality, and to a reprobate, depraved mind. And many, many people are opening themselves up to the evil one, and even just boldly declaring their allegiance to Satan. It's a sick, twisted world in which we live. But God has put us on the earth for such a time as this to be his witnesses. And so we want to be faithful to the Lord, and we want to be aware of what is going on around us, and teach our children to be aware so that they would not be naive. And we want to, as Jesus said, be shrewd as serpents and yet innocent as doves. And we want to keep ourselves unstained, as it says in James chapter 1, to keep yourself unstained by the world. That is, you don't walk so close to the edge that you might fall off. Keep yourself from that, especially when it relates to morality, as it relates to money, that you don't let the love of money, let your character be free from the love of money. Hebrews 13 says, being content with what you have. And what do we have? We have Jesus. He is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's the one who never leaves us, never forsakes us. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And we don't need to be afraid. And as we yield ourselves every day to the Holy Spirit, we can experience the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control of the Holy Spirit. Against such things, there is no law. And so that's our lives as believers. And we are in the Lord's army. And as Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. We're in the Lord's army. And we will face hardship in the Lord's army. But our job is to be faithful until death. As Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Carlos on the line from Texas. Carlos, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor, for having me.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned demons, and that there is actually zero mention of demons possessed people in the Old Testament. Well, the simple and quick answer to that is found in Revelation 12, where John is telling us about Christ's birth. The woman bore a male child. And just to summarize, and salvation has come, so rejoice. But something very important also happened there. That's where war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. That is why, from the time of Christ till now, there are demon-possessed people, because they're here now. It says, woe to you, the inhabitants of the earth and the seas, for the devil has come down to you full of wrath, because he knows his time is short. That is my comment on that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, so the devil, Lucifer, the most beautiful angel God created, he sinned in heaven. He got a third of the angels to join him in his rebellion against God, and we meet him in Genesis chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. So that the fall and the demonic contingent didn't happen at the birth of Christ. It happened before the Lord created man. We don't know exactly when it happened, but it happened obviously before Genesis chapter 3. And so you had demons on the earth, and you had all sorts of demonic worship. The worship of idols is all demonic. But my point was, you don't see the interaction in the Old Testament of demonic possessed people like you do in the New Testament. We don't read about anybody's ministry in the Old Testament that their ministry was casting out demons. But Jesus, obviously, his ministry was to seek and to save that which was lost. Part of that ministry included healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and casting out demons. And so that's where we see it primarily. And so I appreciate your point on that, Carlos, because Revelation 12 does give us perspective. It does tell us that, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. That's where we get that third followed Lucifer in his rebellion against the Lord. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that she gave birth, he might devour her child. Satan has always wanted to destroy the Jewish race. Why? Because if you destroy the Jewish race in the Old Testament, then Messiah can't come. And the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, that was going to crush the serpent's head. The devil is, he's not a dummy. His wisdom is corrupted because of sin, but he is more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he knows how to put two and two together. And so, hey, if I can destroy the Jewish race, then the Messiah can't come, then God's promises fail, then I win because I make God a promise breaker. I turn God into a liar, and God can't be holy, holy, holy and be a promise breaker. And so there has been an attack on the Jewish people from day one. What do you find in Genesis chapter 4? There's murder in the family. And so Cain rises up and kills Abel. Hey, I can destroy the promise right here. He didn't know when the seed of the woman was coming. He said, I can destroy the promise right here, and I can have these boys kill one boy kill another. And so the dead boy can't be the Messiah, and the murderer can't be the Messiah. And so he has been at work from the beginning to try and destroy. So that's a good point. I appreciate you bringing that up. Well, we have Amy on the line from Arkansas. Amy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Yeah, I was just going to say, I've heard several ex-Muslims and people who know a lot about the Muslim faith say that the Muslims, they come on nice at first, and I'm not saying all Muslims, because you made that point clear that they're not all following their book, but they get in, say, a country, and they're friendly, and then they get together, and then they always have a lot of children, or usually have a lot of children, so they start populating, and then they get into politics and so on, and there's a whole kind of strategy. And so you can see what's going on now with the demonstrations against Israel, how that's going. But anyway, it's not peaceful.
Right.
And anyway, and then, well, I guess that's it. That's all I want to say.
Yeah.
Oh, but well, I would recommend any of your listeners to listen to that interview with Bill Federer, because he really laid it out.
He did, and Bill does a great job. Bill is one of the smartest guys I know as far as remembering names and dates and places and particulars. It's amazing how he just can spit all that stuff out, and he's not reading it. He is just coming out of his head. But you're exactly right, Amy. So one of the things Bill said on Monday was when Muslims are in the minority, they play nice. When they're in the majority and they feel like they can win, that's when the true colors come out. And so we're just so we're so naive when we deal with them, because we don't want to understand how their religion works. And so we deal with them like we would deal with somebody, you know, across the street. Well, they're not like that. They're not like us, and their minds don't work the same way we do. Ours minds work. And so you have to be wise in that. And so Israel knows how that goes, and so they're dealing accordingly. And so if you don't, as Ronald Reagan said, you have peace through strength. That's what they understand. They understand strength. They don't understand compromise, because they see that as weakness. They don't understand kindness, because they see that as weakness. I'm talking about not with individuals. I'm talking about with nations. And so you have to be strong. Otherwise, you you're going to let a tiger into the house that's going to destroy. So I appreciate your comments. We have Kay on the line from Texas. Kay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I wanted to answer or comment on the gentleman who was talking about former President Trump being a lover of money. All of us have strengths and weaknesses. All of us have evil and good within us. But I find it interesting that he did not mention anything about the Biden consortium that has accumulated so many millions of dollars through the LLC, and this has been going on since he was a senator. So I think we need to be a little more careful about what we accuse people of, and let's look at the facts without emotion and let the facts speak for themselves.
Yeah, good word, Kay. You know, it's easy to say, well, you have a lot of money, you must be a lover of money. And, you know, President Trump, Donald Trump, when he was president, gave all his salary away. Being president cost him a lot of money. It didn't gain him a lot of money. It's pretty amazing when you see these guys that are lifetime politicians, lifelong politicians, and all of a sudden they have amassed millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's like, hey, I don't think that job pays that much. You know, you get paid $175,000 or whatever for being in Congress, and you get paid $400,000 a year for being president. And so how is it that you have amassed, you know, these untold millions of dollars? Oh, well, now we know how. You've been selling influence and in my opinion, committing treason against the United States. It's just pitiful. But it is. I think lots of things, Kay, go back to the love of money, and it is a root of all sorts of evil. And we could go on a long list of the sins of Donald Trump. The love of money may not be one of them. Love of self is definitely high on the list. So I think that you were good to point that out. So thank you for that. Kenny in Oklahoma. Kenny, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for your program, Pastor Jeff. Yes, I agree with the lady. It's interesting the gentleman, the first caller, did not bring up the Democratic Party, which is so demonic. And another point he made, he wanted to blame the church for violence and shedding innocent blood. The true born-again church has never shed innocent blood. That was by pagan Rome, which turned into the Roman Catholic Church, which is still evil. And they have killed so many Christians, the true born-again Christians. They burnt them at the stake. They tortured them. That was the Roman Catholic Church. The true born-again Christians have never shed innocent blood. And if I may real quickly, I think a part of the problem in the United States of America is the doctrine of once saved, always saved. When you read the Bible sincerely, with an open heart, I think it's very clear, Pastor Jeff, that once saved, always saved, eternal security is a false doctrine, because I see where you can fall if you choose to fall. It's not God's will you fall, but if you want to turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ after being born again, you do have that choice. And you do have to repent and forsake your sins to get back into the kingdom of God and make it to heaven. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, here's a test for you, Kenny. Yeah, go find one person in the scripture that was ever saved twice. You won't ever find that, because once you're saved forever. We're not kept saved by holding on to Jesus. He holds on to us. John chapter 10, verses 27 and following. The Bible makes it clear we're kept by the power of God. Just think of Noah in the ark. Noah may have fallen down many times in the ark. He never fell out. The Lord shut the door behind him. Ephesians chapter 1 says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who has given us a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. When God gives you His Spirit, He never takes His Spirit back. You're His forever, and He will bring to total redemption those who are His. So I appreciate you calling in. I would disagree with you on that. Once you're saved forever. Well, Kathy, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but I will be praying for your son for sure. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you. Remember, your job, my job, our job is to be His witnesses until He comes again. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.